Welcome to the deep dive. We take stacks of insights, break them down, and give you that actionable knowledge. And today, we're tackling one of life's biggest journeys, right? Parenting. I mean, let's be honest. It often feels like you're handed this tiny human. No instructions included. You're just trying to figure it out. Wading through, well, often conflicting advice, unexpected stuff, and constantly wondering if you're doing it right. But what if there was, you know, a clearer way? Our deep dive today is into this really interesting resource, Clear Directions, Parenting Pathways That Work, our mission. To pull out the strategies, the examples, the simple steps that actually work, we want to arm you with things you can use, like today.
Exactly. This isn't just about more information. Lord knows there's enough of that. We're looking for a framework, something based on, well, love, balance, but also just practical stuff. The aim is to shift parenting from feeling chaotic and reactive to something more intentional, maybe even joyful. Think of this as your shortcut, kind of, to getting really well informed on this, finding that clarity everyone seems to be searching for.
Okay, clear directions for parenting. Sounds amazing, almost maybe too good to be true when you're in the middle of the daily mess. So where does this guide even start? How do we begin to find that clarity, build that sort of foundation?
Well, every journey needs a map, or at least a starting point. And what's interesting here is how clear directions gets right to it, defining your core values. Think of these as your family's North Star. What really truly matters to you. The guide throws out examples, you know, like love, respect, responsibility, honesty, maybe curiosity. Identifying these is crucial because, well, they become your internal GPS. Seriously, they make those everyday decisions, big or small, way clearer. If respect is core, your reaction to, say, a tantrum changes, doesn't it? It's less reactive, more aligned.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. Being proactive, not just putting out fires constantly. And it's not just internal values, right? The guide talks about family principles, too, like family mottos, the lines you don't cross. The source uses that great example. We solve problems with words, not hands. Simple. But wow, what a clear expectation that sets. I can see how having something like that could really bring a family together.
Absolutely. Yeah, going right along with that is this idea of consistency over perfection. So many parents, and yeah, I include myself here, fall into that trap, thinking we have to be perfect, flawless. But the guide is clear. It's not about never messing up. It's about being predictably there. Showing up consistently matters way more than always getting it right. Actually, it suggests kids learn resilience, learn grace by seeing us mess up, own it, and fix it. That reliable presence that builds trust, it's gold.
That's actually a huge relief. Perfection is not happening. So, okay, we have our values. We know consistency beats perfection. It was like a concrete first step, something a listener could do.
Oh, the guide has a great little quick exercise for this, right now even. Write down your family's top five values. Just five.
Yeah.
And maybe create a short motto together. Just doing that, saying them out loud, writing them down, it can bring so much clarity. It's like drawing that first line on your parenting map.
Right. So compass is in hand. We sort of know where we're headed. But the journey itself, the day-to-day, that's all about interaction, isn't it? Communication. What does the guide say about that? How do we make sure we're actually connecting, not just, you know, talking at them?
Yeah. Communication's huge in this. And the guide makes it crystal clear. It starts with, listen before you lecture. We've all done it, right? Kid comes home upset. Our gut reaction is to jump in, fix it, judge it. But the guide says, hit pause. Really listen. And what does that mean? It means, like, put the phone down. Look at them. Let them talk, even if it's just rambling. That active, empathetic listening, that's the foundation. It builds trust. It shows them their feelings matter, which is huge for their emotional health.
Yeah.
That's a tough shift, though. But, yeah, crucial. And it's not just if we listen, but how we talk. The guide mentions age-appropriate conversations. You can't talk to a toddler the same way you talk to a teen, obviously. Adjusting your tone, your words. Simple language for little ones, more complex stuff for older kids, navigating identity.
Exactly. One size definitely does not fit all. And the guide offers a fantastic tool here, understanding open versus closed questions. Closed questions get you a yes or no, conversation over. Open questions, though, they invite sharing, thoughts, feelings. And here's the specific parenting pathway tip they give. It's brilliant. Replace "why did you do that" with "help me understand what happened."
Ooh, I like that.
See the difference? It goes from accusation to curiosity. It invites them in instead of putting them on the defensive.
That's super practical, something you can use immediately. Okay, let's shift gears to something that can be, well, tricky, discipline. But this guide reframes it, calls it discipline versus guidance. What's the key difference they're pointing out?
It's a really important shift in perspective. Clear directions, pushes for clear boundaries, gentle corrections. The goal isn't just controlling behavior, you know, through force or fear. It's about teaching, guiding. We want them to develop their own internal compass, right? Long-term understanding, self-regulation, not just immediate compliance because they're scared. It's about teaching them how to navigate, not just telling them what to do.
Right. Teaching, not just punishing. And related to that, it emphasizes natural and logical consequences, not just random punishments. This helps kids really grasp cause and effect. Like if you leave your bike out and it gets rusty, well, the consequence is maybe you help clean the rust off. It connects the action directly to the outcome. Makes sense.
Exactly. And it helps avoid that thing the guide calls the because I said so trap.
Oh, yeah. We've all been there.
Haven't we? You're tired. You're frustrated. You just want it done.
Yeah.
But the guide reminds us, explaining the why behind a rule or why an action leads to a certain outcome, that's way more effective long term than just laying down the law. Kids are more likely to internalize it if they understand the reason. It encourages thinking, not just, you know, blind obedience.
And there's even a detour warning in the guide about this. It says, overusing punishment may control behavior temporarily, but damages long-term trust. So what's the bottom line here?
It's the long game. It's always the long game in parenting.
Yeah.
We're focusing on building that strong, trusting relationship. That's what serves them best, way beyond just fixing today's behavior. It shapes who they become.
Okay, so beyond behavior, what about feelings? How do we help kids understand and handle their emotions? The guide talks about cultivating emotional intelligence at home. That feels incredibly important right now.
It really is. And guess where it starts? With us. Modeling emotional regulation. The guide puts it simply, kids learn from watching you. How you handle frustration, joy, disappointment. That's the lesson. Your reactions are like powerful teaching tools, whether you realize it or not. So it makes you ask yourselves, doesn't it? What am I demonstrating every day about handling big feelings, especially the tough ones?
That's, yeah, a bit confronting, but true. We're always modeling something. And it's not just modeling passively, right? It's also active teaching. The guide mentions teaching feelings vocabulary, giving kids the actual words, happy, sad, frustrated, disappointed, proud.
Simple words, but essential.
Totally. When a kid can say, I'm frustrated, instead of just screaming, that's a huge leap in self-awareness.
And right alongside vocabulary is the power of empathy. This means validating their feelings, even if you don't agree with the behavior. So for a toddler melting down because a toy broke, you might say, wow, you're really mad that toy broke. It's okay to feel mad. But maybe for a teen dealing with friend drama, it's more like, it sounds like you feel really betrayed. That's rough. How can we think through this? You're connecting, showing you understand the emotion, even if you later address the maybe not so great way they handled it.
Connection first. That makes sense. And the guide even suggests practical mini activity. Create a feelings chart for little kids or a mood check-in board for teens. I love that. Makes talking about feelings a normal, everyday thing. Now, kids grow up, obviously, so strengthening that parent-child bond, it changes over time, doesn't it? The guide seems to have specific pathways for these different stages. What stands out there?
It absolutely changes. And the first thing the material points out is the difference between quality time versus quantity time. What's fascinating here is the emphasis on focused, undistracted interaction. Being truly present. That's way more impactful than just hours spent in the same room, maybe on different devices. It's about the presence, not just the minutes. 5 minutes of really engaged play can be more bonding than an hour of distracted parallel activity.
That's such a critical reminder for, well, all of us in our busy lives. And to help create that quality time, the guide talks about rituals that matter. Those predictable connection points, right? Like bedtime stories, family dinners, maybe weekend walks.
Nice. They become anchors. They build security, memories, that sense of belonging. It's like watering a plant consistently.
Yeah.
Predictable nourishment.
Nice analogy.
And definitely don't underestimate the power of play and laughter. That's crucial for bonding no matter the age.
Yeah.
Whether it's silly faces with a baby, building a fort with a kid, or, you know, a competitive game night with teens. Shared fun, shared laughter. It's powerful stuff. Lightens the mood, too.
For sure. And the guide offers a specific pathway idea here. Family connection time. Just 20 minutes a day. Undistracted. 20 minutes. Sounds doable, but doing it every day, I imagine that adds up significantly.
Hugely transformative over time. And the guide is smart. It acknowledges these principles need adapting. It outlines pathways for different stages. So for toddlers 1-3, the focus is maybe more on safety, routines, encouraging exploration. Whereas for teens 13-18, it shifts. You're focusing on identity, fostering independence, navigating boundaries, building that deeper trust. The core values stay the same, but how you apply them changes. like tending different plants in the same garden, each needs slightly different care.
Right, it evolves. Now let's be real, parenting isn't always easy pathways and sunny skies. The modern world adds layers too. The guide touches on things like parenting in the digital age, screen time, online safety, digital responsibility, important stuff. And also, when parenting gets tough, managing our own stress, handling tantrums, knowing when maybe you need outside help. But there's one pathway you mentioned that often gets pushed to the bottom of the list, but the guide says is critical.
Yeah, and it's arguably the most foundational for all the others.
Yeah.
The parent self-care pathway.
Yeah.
The guide is really direct about this. Your well-being impacts your child's well-being, period. If you're stressed, burnt out, running on empty, you simply can't navigate these other pathways effectively for your child. It's that oxygen mask analogy, right? Put yours on first. You can't pour from an empty cup. It really makes you question, are we treating our own well-being as essential or as a luxury we'll get to later? Mm-hmm.
That's a tough but really necessary question. Oof. And the source doesn't just point out the problem, thankfully. It offers simple stress relief tools. Things like breathing exercises, maybe journaling, getting some exercise.
Basic things.
Yeah, but the guide frames them as necessities, not indulgences. Tools you need to keep your own energy, patience, and emotional balance topped up for the demands of parenting.
Exactly. And it brings us back beautifully to letting go of that perfect parent syndrome. It connects right back to consistency over perfection. It's a reminder, you're on a learning journey too. It's okay not to have all the answers. It's okay to be human. What matters is showing up, trying, being present, progress, you know?
Yeah.
Not some impossible standard of perfection.
Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive into clear directions, parenting pathways that work, it's clear, isn't it? Parenting isn't a destination with a GPS. It's a journey guided by our choices, our values, and by those daily moments where we choose to connect, to teach, and yeah, to grow right alongside our kids.
Absolutely. And by trying to follow these kinds of clear directions, these pathways, you're not just making the journey maybe a bit smoother for yourself. You're actively building better, stronger pathways for your kids' futures. You're helping them grow into those capable, kind, confident people you hope they'll become.
So here's a thought to leave you with as you go about your week. Which of these pathways feels most relevant for you right now? Maybe it's just defining one core value or committing to those 5 minutes of a truly focused connection each day. What's one small intentional step you could take this week to make your parenting journey feel a little more guided, helping your kids along their own path?